Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Ayin Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Avishai and Elisheva Newman, L'schus Rafua Shalema for Avishai's father, Chaim Naftali ben Frimit Freida. We hope that the schus of today's learning serves as a schus for a quick and a speedy and a full recovery for Chaim Naftali ben Frimit Freida. We thank the Newman family very much for this sponsorship. So we left off towards the bottom of Kuf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. What we had been focusing on yesterday was the whole concept of Kosvin Shover or Ein Kosvin Shover, whether if there is a repayment of a loan and the Malva claims to have lost the shtar, the Malva claims to have lost the promissory note, do we force the Lova to accept a receipt in lieu of a return of the promissory note? And we were afraid yesterday, we started mentioning, or we made reference throughout the entirety of Amud Beis to this concept of churva. We're afraid that a churva is going to come with respect to a post-dated shtar. And ultimately, we saw that the churva was as follows, just repeating this because it leads right into the discussion this morning, that the churva was as follows. If a person makes a loan on, let's say today, so July 13th, but the shtar is dated September 13th, and let's say on August 13th, the Lova goes and pays the Malva back. So ordinarily speaking, the Malva has to give the promissory note back to the Lova and rip it up. What if the Malva claims that he lost the promissory note? So in lieu of return of the promissory note, he offers to write the Lova a receipt. So he's going to write the Lova a receipt on August 13th. Then comes September 13th, which was the date of the shtar, then the Malva is going to go again to the Lova and say, hey, I have a shtar, this date is September 13th, this is in respect of a new loan. Maybe you paid me back last time, but this is a new loan. And that's the churva that we're worried about if we were to validate post-dated shtaros. The Gemara says, how is it that you told me that I'm not able to use a post-dated shtar in Mekach u'Memkar by a Mechira, but I am allowed to use a post-dated shtar by a Halva? And we answer that in Kosvin Shover. We answer that Man Yomer holds in Kosvin Shover, and if we're not going to write a receipt, if the only way we're going to force the Malva to accept payment is if he gives back the shtar chov, then we understand why we're not afraid for this churva. The Gemara today is going to start with a discussion of, aren't there other ways to write the shover to eliminate the possibility of this churva befalling us as well? The Gemara then on Kuf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph is going to talk about again various particulars in terms of writing a shtar, that when you're about specifying exactly where you are when you're writing the shtar, or where you're writing the shtar, and specifying where the loan actually took place. We're then going to talk about, let's say, if a person has a shtar that's a promissory note that Reuven owes him $100, and then Shimon asks to have that promissory note divided into two shtaros of $50 each. So do we do that? What if he has two promissory notes of 50 shtaros each? Do we consolidate into a promissory note of $100? What if he has a note for $100 and then says, oh, he paid me back $50, write me a new one for $50, only one shtar for $50? Well, we'll see whether or not we permit that. Then the Mishnah on Kuf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph is going to talk about a situation where you have two brothers who are dividing a merchatz or a beis habad, what they're allowed to do or what they're allowed to demand that the other one use the merchatz or the beis habad for. And then we go back to the halachos of shtaros about two Yosef ben Shimons, two people by the same name who live in the same city. Are they allowed to be motzi ashtar chov one on the other? Can other people be motzi ashtar chov on them? If it's not apparent which Yosef ben Shimon owes the money, can they be motzi ashtar chov on others? Can they, as the Malvek, claim that other people owe them money? Some eitzas as to how to differentiate between one and the other if both of their names are Yosef ben Shimon. And the Gemara then leading on the bottom of Kuf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph over to Kuf Ayin Beis Amud Beis, and then through the end of the daf is going to talk about what if somebody has a promissory note that says that I so and so, so it specifies the Lova's name, that I so and so owe money to you. but it doesn't say a name. It doesn't say, I just owe money to you. We try to compare that to a get without a date, that doesn't have a date, and we'll see whether that's a valid comparison or not. Okay, so let's pick up from Kuf Ayin Aleph Amabez. We left off 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom, towards the end of the line. The first word on that line is V'yamarle. We left off 4th word from the end of the line, Amarle Rav Yemar L'Rav Kahana. So again, getting back into the discussion of the reason that we don't write a shovar is because we're afraid of this churva on account of a post-dated shtar. V'yamarle Rav Yemar Yemadifti L'Rav Kahana V'idna D'kazvinan Shtari Mukhuroi V'kazvinan Tavra Amaykav Dinan Hachi. Nowadays, we do write post-dated shtaros, and we do give the love a shovar when he repays the loan. How could we do this? Aren't we afraid of the churva that we've been mentioning in the Gemara? So says the Gemara, Basar Diyamarlu, Rav Abba L'Safre. That's why Rav Abba used to say to his sofer, Kikas Finu Shtar Mecharoi, when you write a Shtar Me'uchar, Kosvu Hachi, you should use the following formulation, Shtara Dinan, this Shtar, Lo Bizmane Kosvina, was not written in its Bizman, Ela Achrenu V'Kosvinu. So in other words, you write explicitly in the Shtar that it's a Shtar Me'uchar, and therefore, if it's written explicitly that it's a shtar me'uchar, this whole churva that we've been discussing is never going to happen. Because if the shtar is dated September 13th, and even though today's July 13th, but the shtar says in it it's a shtar me'uchar, then if the lova pays back August 13th and as a shovar, when I come September 13th with a shtar and I try to collect again, I'm not going to be believed to say that it's a new loan because it says in the body of the shtar that it's a post-dated shtar. So says the Gemara, Amar le Rav Ashi le Rav Kahana v'idna delokav dinan hachi. But however, now where we do write post-dated shtaros and we don't use this formulation in the post-dated shtaros, so how do we do that? So Basar diamar le Rav Safra le Safre. That's why Rav Safra said to his sofer, Ki kasvinu hani tavri, when you write the receipt, iyadisu zmane dishtari kasvu, if you know the date that of the shtar in respect of which the repayment is being made, then write the date of the shtar in respect of which the repayment is being made in the shovar, and ilo kasvu stama. And if not, then write the shovar without a date. Therefore, the chol emas de nafik lire. Therefore, whenever you bring the shtar meuchar and try to prove that the lova owes you money from a new loan, this shovar will be able to negate that taina. Why? Because again, in our example, we have the shtar that's dated September 13th. The loan is actually made today, July 13th, and the repayment takes place on August 13th. Now, the whole problem is we're afraid that I'm going to get repaid on August 13th and then go present my shtar on September 13th and claim it's a new loan. So there are a couple of ways around this. First of all, if we write in the shtar that it's post-dated explicitly, then I'm not going to be able to do that because we'll know it's not a new loan. We'll know that it was an earlier loan. And even if I don't write that in the shtar, this is the way Tosfos explains that this is sort of like a backup. This is like a fail-safe. The first date says to write in the shtar that it's post-dated. The second, what if I forgot to do that? What if I didn't do that? The second eight says, so I'll write in the shovar that this shovar is in respect of repayment of a loan in connection with which the shtar was dated September 13th. So now when I come with that shtar and I claim it's a new loan, I'll have the shovar that says, no, I already repaid that loan. Or who says I date the shovar August 13th? Maybe I leave the shovar with a blank date. So the shovar doesn't have a date. So whenever you come and claim that I still owe you the money, I'll have the shovar that says I paid you $100. So the Mefarshim say, okay, but what happens then if legitimately the Malve loaned to the Love another loan of $100? Because if I have like the trump card, the Joker card shovar without a date, anytime the guy comes to me and asks me for his $100 back, I could pull out the shovar and say, I already paid you. So they say, yes, you're right. However, it's the Malve who's mafsid on himself. It's the Malve who took the loss upon himself because the Malve was stupid for loaning the Love another loan of exactly that amount of money. So in other words, you could loan the Love some money again, just make sure not to own him the exact amount of money that's written in the shovar, because then you're right. You are up a creek because the Love will always be able to use that shovar to thwart collection. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, last line. So, Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, Vamar le Ravashi le Rav Kahana. And how about, what about today where we don't do any of this stuff? We don't write in the shtaros that it's a shtar me'uchar. We don't put a date on the shover. We don't specify in the shover which shtar the shover relates to. So what do we do? So says the Gemara, what do you want from me? I already gave you two takanos that we can use in order to prevent this chorva from happening. If you don't follow the takanos of the Chachamim, then guess what? It's your fault. Not my fault. It's your fault. So then you lost. Okay. So says the Gemara. Amar lu Rava bar Rav Shila lahanu kasvi shtari akniyasa. To people who write a shtaros of transfer. What are shtaros of transfer? So the Rashbam explains that it's either a shtar matana or it's a shtar mecher without it's a shtar mecher with achrayas. And you're able to collect from lekuchos from the time of mechira. Why? Because the mechira itself has a kol because of the edim that testify as to the kinyan that took place in connection with the mechira. And the Rashbam distinguishes this from a shtar halva, that by a loan, the only thing that has a kol, the only thing that has a kol is not the kinyan itself, but it's not the action itself, not the loan itself, rather it's only the shtar. As the Rashbam says, Vidavka, this is in the middle of this very long Rashbam, we'll just read a few lines, Vidavka shtari akniyasa, avo shtari avo, sheyesh bo achrayas, lo yichtov ela yom she'omed bo achshav. So let's first see what the Gemara says. So Amar Rabbi Barshila Lahanu Kosvi Shtari Akniyasa. The people who write the Shtaros of transfer, Ki Kosvinu Shtari Akniyasa, Yadisu Yoma Deknisu Bei Kisvu. If you know the date on which the transfer took place, so write that date. Vilo Kisvi Yoma Dekaimisa Bei. And if you don't know the date on which the actual transfer took place, then write the date on which the Shtar is being written, Keichad Lomas Chazi Kashikra. So that it doesn't appear. Like you're lying. So says the Rashbam, wait, why isn't this a shtar me'uchar? Because the transfer took place sometime earlier, and now you're using a date that is the date on which the shtar is being written. So how does that work? And the Rashbam says, because the shibud doesn't come from the shtar. The shibud comes from the time of the transaction, because the transaction itself has a kol, and therefore the shtar is really only serving as a shtaraya. It doesn't really have any legal effect. Masha'en kein by a halva, where the shibud comes from the shtar, then we're particular about writing the actual date on which the shtar was written, because the whole koach hashibud comes from that shtar. Where the shibud doesn't come from the shtar, you could play around. You could write it from an earlier date. You could write it from today's date. Either way, it doesn't really make a difference, right? The problem here is not of a post-dated shtar; it's of a backdated shtar. And usually, we don't write a backdated shtar because, as we saw, we're afraid that you might come and be toruf milakucho shelo kadin. That if the kuchos bought between the date that's written in the shtar and the actual date, then who says that I have a shiba to be tore from lekuchos? But the point over here is, yes, you do have a shiba to be tore from lekuchos from the date that the transaction took place, even though the shtar may be written and dated on a later date. So that's the point of this Gemara, that it's not considered to be a backdated, not considered to be a predated shtar. So Amarlu Rav Lasafre. So Rav said to his sofrim, V'chein Amarlu Ravuna Lasafre, and so too Ravuna said to his sofrim, Ki kamaisu b'shili kisvu b'shili. When you are standing in Shili, you should write that the shtar was written in Shili. V'yafal gav demisirin lechu mili behini. Even though the action took place in Hini, and ki kamaisu behini kisvu behini, v'yafal gav demisirin lechu mili b'shili. And all this. So basically, the Nemuka Yosef explains that we're talking about a shtar that's written in Shili on a halva that happened in Hini, or the opposite. that the shtar is written in Hini on Alva that happened in Shili. So in other words, you should mention both these places, even though Shili and Hini were very close together. So, you know, who would think, what's the big deal if you specify all this stuff? The Nemuki Yosef says, all this is Kedei Shalom Mechsei Keshikra. That it shouldn't be that the shtar looks like a false shtar. So in addition to this explanation of the Nemuka Yosef, who says that you should do this so that the shtar doesn't appear to be like a false shtar, the Mordechai gives a different explanation. He says that that knowing where the shtar was written is very critical. Why? Because there are edim who sign on the shtar. Sometimes we need people to be mekayim the signature of the edim. We need a kiyam hashtar. And in order to be able to trace people who are able to verify the signatures on the shtar, it's important to know which city the shtar was written in, because mistama, that's where the edim came from. And mistama, if we're going to find people who are capable of validating the signatures, they are going to come from that same city. So that's what the Mordechai explains. That's why it's important to know not only where the transaction took place, but also where the shtar is being written. And then the Mordechai quotes Rashi, who gives even a more basic reason as to why you need to do this, is because if the event took place in Shili, and the shtar was written in Hili, and then the sofer writes that everything took place in Shili, then people might come and try to make the edim on the shtar, edim zomimim, and say, how could you have testified on this action that took place in Shili? You were with us in Hini, so you couldn't have been there. That's why you say that the lova, the alva, took place in Shili. The shtar was written in Hini, so you write that explicitly. Therefore, you can't make these edim into edim zomimim for saying, how could you testify on something that happened in Shili? You were with us in Hini, because it says in the shtar was written in Hini itself. Okay, but all various reasons for why we have to write very, very specifically where the action took place, where the maisa took place, and where the shtar is being written. Says the Gemara now Viter. So two lines up from where they get wide. Shama Rava, Haiman Dinokit Shtara Bar Meazuze. If a person has a shtar for $100, Viyamar Shaviuni Ali Tre Bnei Chamishin Chamishin. And he says, you know what? I don't like carrying this $100 promissory note. I want change. Split this into two $50 promissory notes. Lo Mashvinalu, we do not do this for him. My time up. Why not? So says the Gemara. Avdi Rabbana Milsa, Dinichle Lamalve, Vinichle Lalove, because the Rabbana did something that is good for both the Malve and the Love. Nichle Lamalve, it's good for the Malve to have this $100 promissory note, Kadesha Yaakov Laparo. Why? Because as we've seen, if the Love pays back $50, then we don't rip up the $100 promissory note and replace it with a $50 promissory note. We leave the Malve in possession of the $100 promissory note and we write the Love a receipt. Now, as we've seen, if we write the Love a receipt, the Lova is going to be doeg to pay back the loan, because the Lova knows that he's holding on the receipt and he bears all the risk, because if he loses the receipt, then the Malva is left with a shtar for $100. He's going to be able to collect the full amount of the chov again. So that's why it's actually to the benefit of the Malva that we are not going to write him the $250 shtaros. So the reason that he wanted the $250 shtaros is because $100 or 100 zuz in those days was a lot of money, and it was much more typical that the Lova would come up with 50 to pay back instead of 100. So he wanted to be prepared when the Lova came back with 50, because otherwise you would have to write a shover. It's a pain to go write a shover. You have to go to Beis Din, you have to have a sofer. Okay, fine, maybe, but it's actually better for the Malva. We're looking out for the Malva's interest, better for the Malva that the Lova actually get a shover, because then the Lova is going to be afraid and is going to be induced to pay up already. Now also, v'nichale l'lova, and it's also good for the Lova, ki echid nifkam shtore. Because now it's going to be considered a shtar pogum. What does that mean? Says the Rashbam about halfway down in the wide lines. Kishayifra chamishim zuz, when the lova pays back 50 out of the $100 loan, hare nimsa shtar shabiyad malve pogum. The shtar in the hands of the malve is a shtar pogum because it's partially repaid. Vitnan, and we learn now a concept from ksubos, hapogemes ksuba lotifra ele bishvua. If a woman's ksuba is partially repaid, when she goes to collect her ksuba, she can only collect with a shvua. If she takes a shvua as to how much she actually collected. Vuadin lechola shtaros, now the Rashbam makes a chiddish that so too, it's the case. It's the halacha by other shtaros as well. We see in Gemara Shvuos that the concept of pogame ksuba, pogames ksuba, is not only by pogames ksuba, it's also by any other shtaros. So if the malva is left with a $100 shtar that the lova partially repaid, when the malva comes to collect the balance of the loan, he's going to have to swear that he got $50 and that he still owed $50. So it's actually good for the lova that we are not going to break his $100 shtar into 50. Now it says the Gemara Vayter, the flip case, V'yama Rava, and says Rava as follows, Hayman denuket trei shtari v'nei chamishin chamishin, if a person has two shtaros each for $50, V'yama shavinu nilei chad bar meya, and he wants to consolidate his promissory notes into one promissory note in the amount of $100, lo mashvina lei, we don't listen to him, why? And again, avid rabbana milsa denichale l'malve v'nichale l'love, we do something that is good for the malve and good for the love, nichale l'malve, it's good for the malve, because it's more likely that the lova will only have $50 at a time to pay him back. And if the lova only pays back $50 out of the $100, and you have a $100 star, then the star is going to be a star pogum. And then when the malva wants to collect, he's going to have to take a shvua. However, if we break the $100 star, if we keep it into two shtaros of $50, when the lova pays back $50, good. So you rip up one star. Then when the malva wants the next $50, he doesn't have to take a shvua because he's collecting with a $50 star, not a $100 star. And it's nichale lilove kadeshalo yakov laparo. And it's good for the love because now the love is not going to live with that same fear. If there's a $100 star and he pays back only 50 and he has the shover, he's afraid that he's going to lose the shover. And if he loses the shover, then the malva is going to collect the full $100 that's written in the star. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Ashi, Hayman denakat shtara bar meya zuze. Let's say a guy has a shtar for 100 zuz. V'yamar shavinu nele chad bar chamishin. Forget about, I want to break this 100 into 250s. The guy says, okay, I have a shtar for 100 zuz. I want you to replace this with one shtar for 50 zuz. Says the Gemara, lo mashvina le, we don't listen to him. My time, why in the world wouldn't we listen to him? The guy wants to write down his loan from $100 to $50. So amrinan, because we say, hai mifra pare, we say that this loan must already be repaid. V'yamri le, havli shtaroi, and the loved said, okay, I'm repaying the loan, give me the shtar and repayment of the loan. V'yamar le, irchasli, and the malva said, I lost the shtar, because of le tavra, and he wrote him a receipt for $100. Umafik le hai, v'yamar le hai achrinehu. And now the malva wants to, now the malva is really going to play this trick, and the malva really has the shtar, but he wants to exchange the shtar for a $50 shtar, so that when the malva goes to the Lova with a $50 star and says, you owe me money, the Lova is going to say, what do you mean? I paid you back and here's my receipt. But the receipt is for a loan of $100. This loan is now going to be a loan of $50. So in order to prevent the Malva from doing this trick, we refuse to break even the $100 star into one star of $50. Okay, says the Mishnah. Now, just like in the prior sugya, we have been saying that that if the lova comes to repay the loan, and the malva claims to have lost the shtar, claims to have lost the original shtar, or if the lova is repaying the loan in part, then what we do is we write the lova a shovar. Even though we had said that writing the lova a shovar places the lova in a disadvantageous position because it places him in a position where he's living in fear that he has to repay the loan. He's always worried about it. Why? Because if he loses the shovar, then the malva is left with a shtar in the original amount of the loan. He's going to be able to collect a windfall. So this Mishnah continues on in that theme of a person being placed in a disadvantageous position in a different context. And what's that context? It's the context of Yerusha. So Shnei Achin, you have two brothers, Echad Ani ve'Echad Asher, one of them is wealthy, one of them is poor. V'yiniach lem aviyam merchatz ubeis habad. And their father leaves them in his Yerusha, a merchatz, a bathhouse, or a beis habad. And the Rashbam says, what's the importance or what's the significance of a merchatz and a beis habad? The Rashbam says that you are not able to divide these things. That you are not able to divide these things because it was not the practice either to divide a merchatz or a beis habad or to rent out only a half a merchatz or a half a beis habad. The Rashbam says Masha ain't kain a truklin, Masha ain't kain like a wedding hall or something like a palace, which it is the derech to split and then to and then to rent out. So he leaves something that is not capable of being divided. And also, it's important in understanding the Mishnah to appreciate that this merchatz and the beis habad, they had one of two uses in the times of the Gemara. Either they could be used for personal use. In other words, you could use it personally for a merchatz for your family or a beis habad for your family, or they could be rented out entirely. But there's no going 50-50. You can't use it 50% personal, 50% rented out, or use half of it personally and half of it to rent out. It was all or nothing. Either it was all rented out for commercial use, or it was all reserved for personal use. So they get this merchatz and they get the beis habad. One of the brothers is rich, one of the brothers is poor. So Hasan Leschar, if they rent out, if the father had rented out the beis habad or the merchatz, well then great. Haskar Liemtza. They continue renting it out as part of the Yerusha. You don't divide it, but you continue renting it out, and then they divide the rent. They divide the income stream. However, Asan La'atzmo, however, if the Beis Abad and the Merchatz were used for personal use, then Hare Asher Omer La'ani, the Asher can say to the Ani, Kach Lecha Avadim V'Yerchatzu B'Merchatz, Kach Lecha Zesim Avavi Asa B'Beis Abad. Basically, in other words, the Ani is not allowed to force the Asher into converting this property from a personal property to an income-producing property. That the usher can say to the ani, listen, your position, it's because of your own personal position that you think you're disadvantaged here, but our father left us this merchatz or the beis habad that was set aside for personal use. I want to continue using it for personal use. You can also use it for personal use. Bring your avodim to bathe in the merchatz. Bring your zesim and I'll press them. Now, obviously, he's saying that tongue in cheek because the poor brother doesn't have any avodim. He doesn't have any zesim to press in the beis habad. But unfortunately, he's in a disadvantageous position because of his personal position in life. But so be it. Such as it is, the rich brother, is allowed to say that. Now the Gemara flips back to a case of shtaros and halachos that are particular to shtaros. Shnayim shoyubir echas shem echad Yosef ben Shimon. You have two people in the same city. One of them was named Yosef ben Shimon. V'shem acher Yosef ben Shimon. They have the same name. Ein yicholim lahotzi shtar chov ze al ze. One of the Yosef ben Shimons can't present the shtar chov against the other Yosef ben Shimon and claim that he borrowed money from him. We'll see why in tomorrow's Gemara. Velo echad yachol lahotzi aleim shtar chov. Nor can anybody present a shtar chov against them. In other words, let's say if you have a malve who has a shtar that says Yosef ben Shimon owes him $100 and he's not sure which Yosef ben Shimon it is, he can't go to a Yosef ben Shimon and say, you owe me $100, because maybe it's the other Yosef ben Shimon who owes him $100. How do you know? Nimtza le'echad ben shtarosav shtarosha Yosef ben Shimon parua. If somebody finds a shtar that's among his legal documents that says that the loan of Yosef ben Shimon is repaid, shtarosh ne'em peruim, then the shtaros of both Yosef ben Shimons are deemed to be repaid, because you can't collect from either Yosef ben Shimon, because maybe this Yosef ben Shimon is the one who already repaid the chov. So Ketzad Yasu, so what do you do in this situation? So says the Gemara, Yishalshu. So explains the Rashbam, what do? You write Yosef ben Shimon ben the grandfather. And how common is it that Yosef ben Shimon, that two Yosef ben Shimons, will have the same grandfather's name as well? Now, Vim Hayu Mishulashin, if in fact they did have the same name, even two generations up, so Yichtavu Simon, then they should write a Simon. What's a Simon? So the Rashbam explains that Yosef ben Shimon, the tall guy, Yosef ben Shimon, the fat guy, the skinny guy, the short guy, the bald guy, whatever it is, you write you use an identifying Simon. So Vim Hayu Misumanim. Now, what if they were both Yosef ben Shimon who were both around 5'10", and they both had brown hair, and this, and they basically looked alike. So there was no distinguishing simon. So what do you do? So it says yichtavu kohen. So what if one of them is a kohen? You should write the Yosef ben Shimon, the kohen. Now, the obvious question when you're reading the Mishnah is, what if both of them are kohanim, or forget about both of them are kohanim, What if more likely both of them are Yisraelim? So the Gemara is eventually going to say in tomorrow's daf, well, then if you go up enough generations, somebody's going to have a different name. So you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to go up maybe four generations, maybe five generations, but ultimately you're going to find some way to differentiate these two Yosef and Shimon's. Okay, says the Gemara now as follows. Ushtara Dinafik Lebedina, the Ravuna. There was a shtar that came that was presented to the basin of Ravuna. Davi Kosov Bey, that was written in the shtar, Ani Ploni Bar Ploni, Lavisi Mane Mimcha. That I Ploni Bar Ploni, borrowed money from you. And it doesn't say the name, of the Malve. And says the Rashbam, v'kosov li mimcha klomar mi misha muchzak b'shtar. It doesn't say who the malve is, doesn't identify who the malve is, but presumably the malve is whoever is holding on to the shtar. Says the Gemara, so Amar Rav Huna mimcha afilu me resh galusa v'afilu mi shavar malka. So Mimcha means even if you are the Reish Galusa, even if you are King Shavor. So what exactly does this mean? This is super cryptic. So we have a Machlokas, the Rashbam and Tosfos as to what it means. So the Rashbam explains that that you can't collect with this shtar because we're afraid that maybe the shtar fell from the Reish Galusa, or maybe the shtar fell from Shavar Malka. In other words, how do you know that the person bearing the shtar is actually the Malve? Maybe the Malve was really the Reish Galusa or Shavar Malka. We're using these as examples because they were celebrities back in the day, they were dignitaries, but maybe the shtar fell from somebody else, and therefore you are not able, to collect with the shtar. So, but Tosfos, however, argues, and Tosfos says, no, the whole purpose is that if the shtar says that I borrowed $100 from you, then the bearer of the shtar is able to collect, even if the bearer of the shtar is somebody who's not really all that likely to be making loans to private individuals, like the Reish Galusa, the exilarch, is not likely to be making loans to private individuals. King Shavar is not likely to be making a loan to private individuals. Nevertheless, because he is bearing a shtar that says, I borrowed $100 from you, he is able to collect with the shtar. That's the way Tosfos explains. So we have a fundamental machlokas, Rashbam and Tosfos, whether you are able to collect with the shtar. So then the Rashbam, we should note, actually brings down Tosfos Hashita and then rejects it. Okay, but there's a machlokas Rashi Tosfos, what it means, afilu resh galusa, afilu shavar malka. So Amar le Rav Chista le Rabba, so says Rav Chista le Rabba, puk ayen ba, go be ma'ayin in what the halacha is here, de l'urta boy la Rav Huna minach, because tomorrow Rav Huna is going to ask this kasha from you. So nafak duk ve'ashkach. So he went and he looked and he found a comparable case. Titania, like we see in a braisa, get she'esh alav edim ve'ein bozman. If you have a get where there are signatures on the get, there are edim on the get, however, the get is not dated. Abashol omer im kosov bo gerashtia hayom kosher. If it says, I divorced her today, then it's going to be kosher. Alma ahu yoma denafek be mashma. So obviously we see that when we say gerashtia hayom, what do we mean by hayom? We mean whatever date we're sitting on, whatever date we happen to be on, that's the date that's referenced in the shtar. Hachanami mimcha meu gavra denafek mutusayade mashma. So too, when you present this shtar that says Ploni Bar Ploni borrowed $100 mimcha, it means mimcha from whoever is holding this shtar. So just like the vague date on the get works, so too this vague formulation as to who the malv is also works, and it allows them to collect. Samarle Abaye, so says Abaye, Vidilma Abashol, Rabbi Lazar Sfirale. Maybe there's no Raya, maybe Abashol holds like Rabbi Lazar. The Amar Ede Mesira Karse. And he holds that Ede Mesira Karse. So in other words, that so in other words, so he holds Ede Mesira Karse. The Rashbam explains here that Rabbi Eliezer Omer is in the middle of the Rashbam Dilma Bashal, is where the lines, it's a little bit before the lines get wide. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Aflopi Shaina Lov Edim, Elishnosan Lobafne Edim Kosher. You don't even need Edim signed on the get at all. As long as the get was given in front of Edim, it's going to be kosher. Vegovim and Achasim Ishabadim. Shaina Edim Chosmin Alaget, Elohimne Tikkun Olam. The Edim only signed on the get because of Tikkun Olam, Vechiechid, the Rabbi Eliezer. Machshir lay below Edim, Mishum Taimed, Edim is Sira Karsi, just like Rabbi Lezer's Machshir without Edim, because Edim is Sira Karsi, the Edim on the transmission of the get are what is Ma'akev, Hachanami, Machshir lay below Zman. So too, he kashers a get without his mom, Mishum Hai Taime Gufay, Kediktani, Yeshal of Edim, Vein Bozman, Bahai Mishnah, the Shlosha Gitim Psulim, Via Lakoi, Rabbi Lezer, Viamar Afalpi, Shainal of Edim, Bahai Shtar, Shain Bozman, Kosher. That even though this get doesn't have Edim or it doesn't have Zman, it's going to be kosher. Shein Edim Chosman ala get Elumim Neitikin Olam. Bachanami Ain Chosman Bozman Elumim Neitikin Olam Debasa Choso. We're afraid that you might monkey around with the data on the get because you feel compassion for your niece. Well, we're not going to get into that now. But it says v'kibun shnosalam b'vnei edim heimi idu al azman v'alaget. Now edim esira karse. If the edim esira karse, the edim esira are going to testify on the giving of the get and on the date on which the get was given. Now, in that case, why did Abishol say that the get says it's given today? If you don't need a zman in the get, why does it have to say that gerashtia me hayom? So v'hai dematzrich Abishol lichto bo ani hayom gerashticha lav mishum zman. It's not because, oh, hayom means whatever date it is today. That's the date that the get is dated. No, the get doesn't need a date. Why does it say hayom? It's the ein zezman ulezman lo chayish k'rav elezer. Ella the boy Abishol yadayim ochichos to mishol shekiblo haget nisgarsha meyad. That Abishol needs yadayim ochichos to prove that she was actually divorced, that the divorce was actually intended to take effect when the get was given over, because we're afraid shem lo nichtav meayom beget ze sheim bozman minayin lo sheyei get shemayim bedaitu legarsha meyad beget ze ad sof shanosh natayim lachar kabbalah. Maybe the guy only intends that the get should take effect a year or two after he gives it over. That's why he has to say meayom. So again, says the Rashbam, meayom is not a date. That's why if you hold like Rabbi Lezer that edim mesira karsi, you don't need edim on the get, you don't need a date on the get. Meayom in the get is not a date. It just shows that he intended the get to take effect immediately. Therefore, you can't bring any raya from a get that we kasher that says meayom to this promissory note that we should kasher it because it says that blank, the bearer of the note, is owed $100 by so-and-so. So aval hacha lechash l'nefila. Back in the Gemara, halfway down. But over here, let's be afraid that the promissory note fell from the possession of the real malve, and now this guy found it, but he's not the real malve. So amar leh l'nefila lochashina. He says, we're not afraid of Nefila. So says the Gemara, no, we're not afraid of Nefila. How do you know that you're not afraid of Nefila? Ditnan. Shnayim shayu birachas. Two people who were in the same city are Mishnah. Shem echad Yosef ben Shimon, v'shem achra Yosef ben Shimon. Eino yicholen lahotzi shtar chov ze al ze. That they are not able to be mosi shtar chov one on the other, velo acher yachol lahotzi aleihem shtar chov. Nor is another person allowed to be mosi shtar chov on shtar chov on them. Haheim alacherim yicholim. But they are able to be mosi shtar chov on others. In other words, they're able to take out a shtar, a promissory note that says that so and so owes one of them $100. Va'amai. Now, why could they present a promissory note against others? Lechash l'nefila. We should be afraid that maybe one Yosef and Shimon A was the real malve, but the shtar fell from him and was found by Yosef ben Shimon B, and now Yosef ben Shimon B is presenting the shtar against the love, but it's not really him who's owed the money. So obviously obviously we're not afraid of Nefila. Ela lav shmami la shmami na l'nefila lo chashinan. So can't we bring a raya from our Mishnah that the only thing that they're not allowed to do is present a shtar chov against each other, or nobody else is allowed to present a shtar chov against them, but they're allowed to present a shtar chov against others because we're not afraid way that maybe one of the Yosef ben Shimon dropped the shtar and the other Yosef ben Shimon found it. So it shows that we're not afraid of nefila. Says the Gemara, no, there's nefila and then there's nefila. We're not afraid that one of the Yosef ben Shimon dropped the shtar and another guy whose name is also Yosef ben Shimon found the shtar. Are we afraid that it could be that random guy dropped the shtar and somebody else random picked it up? Yes, we are afraid of that. And therefore, if you present a shtar that says that so-and-so owes the bearer of the shtar money, you can't collect because we're chayshinan l'nefila. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up from the top of Kufayin Gimel, God willing, tomorrow.